Welcome to Heart, a podcast about all things heart-related presented by the physicians of Advanced Cardiovascular Specialists. I'm your host, Linnea Allen. Today we have Dr. Jimmy Smith of Advanced Cardiovascular Specialists located in Shreveport, Louisiana, and we're discussing balloons, stents, and atherectomy devices. Dr. Smith, welcome.
Thank you, Linnea.
Dr. Smith, if you would, please tell me a little bit about yourself and your background.
I grew up in Ruston, Louisiana, and I'm one of six brothers. Five of us became physicians, and I grew up in Ruston, Louisiana. I went to college at Louisiana Tech. Went to medical school here in Shreveport. I did my internal medicine residency and my cardiology fellowship here in Shreveport. I then did an interventional fellowship in Indianapolis at the Indiana Heart Institute back in the early 90s. And then before coming out into private practice, I stayed on the faculty at LSU and the VA Medical Center for about a year and a half. And then I've been out here in private practice with this group of physicians since 1995.
What made you choose hearts?
It was kind of in my blood. Two of my older brothers were cardiologists as well. I looked up to them a lot, and it just kind of became natural.
So you've probably seen a lot of stuff.
It's been talked around the dinner table for a long time.
I bet it has. Okay, so today we're talking about coronary intervention. I got to say, that sounds a little scary, right?
It does, and that's why we want to talk about it. We want to make it not so scary.
Okay, so what is that exactly? What is coronary intervention?
Coronary intervention is kind of a generic term that we use to describe how we clean out arteries, so to speak, with catheters placed in from the groin or from the wrist. And it is less invasive than open heart surgery. And most people, when they think of coronary intervention, they think of coronary stenting, which is a large portion of it. But there's other tools as well.
Okay. And so we're talking about treatment for coronary artery disease.
Correct.
Okay. And what is that exactly?
Coronary artery disease is a process in which cholesterol deposits build up in the arteries over a period of time and eventually obstruct flow to whatever organ that's going to. Now, we're specifically talking about the coronary arteries today, which lead to the heart. But it's a process that is body-wide. It's not organ-wide. And so it can be in any organ of the body.
And how would one find out that they have this?
Primarily with symptoms. Symptoms with people with coronary symptoms of that people have with coronary disease can range from presenting with a heart attack or what sometimes we call an unstable coronary syndrome to what we call stable angina. Stable angina is primarily having chest discomfort or shortness of breath or both with physical activity. So it's usually a symptomatic process that we're trying to address.
Okay, and is any of it preventable?
Surely, a lot of it is preventable. There are some lifestyle things that we can do to help prevent it, but much of it is not fully preventable. The biggest risk factor for developing coronary disease is getting older. The only way to not get older is to die younger. So we can't fully prevent it, but controlling blood pressure, controlling cholesterol, regular exercise, appropriate diet, not smoking can be very helpful. But one can't control some other risk factors such as increasing age, or males get it more commonly than females, and family history. You can't control who your parents are.
Okay, so somebody comes into your office, you do all the work to find out that they have coronary heart disease. What happens next?
Well, there's really three ways of treating people with coronary disease. One way and is part of the treatment for everybody, and that's medical therapy. And medical therapy is controlling blood pressure, usually being on an antiplatelet, so-called blood thinners, and usually an aspirin is part of that. Cholesterol reduction is a part of that. If someone's a diabetic, controlling their diabetes and regular exercise. That's part of the mainstay with everybody. In some patients, they will need something else mechanical to be done. And some of those would go on to have bypass surgery, open heart surgery, and then some would have coronary intervention, which is what I do.
And so let's talk about that. So at the very beginning of this, we said balloons, stents, and atherectomy devices. Can you tell me about those?
Sure. So when coronary intervention is done, it's I like to describe it kind of like playing with railroad tracks and freight trains. Linnea, do freight trains take a dirt road?
No,
they have to run on a track. So the way these tools are used, we take a catheter. Catheter is just a doctor's word for a tube, and go from one of the arteries in the body, usually the groin or from the wrist, and we place the tube from there up to the heart, to the arteries of the heart, and inject dye into the arteries of the heart and see where things are blocked. Once we see where things are blocked, then our first step is to put in a railroad track. And our railroad track is a little wire. And we steer the little wires down the blood vessel across the blockage. First step. Then after that, we choose different railroad cars to clean out the arteries. And that's where the balloons and the stents and the atherectomy devices come in. And the atherectomy devices, most people kind of call Roto-Rooters. And so we choose the different railroad cars for our effect. So in most people, once we get the wire down the vessel, our railroad track, our first railroad car is a little cigar-shaped balloon. We slide the cigar-shaped balloon down the vessel across the blockage. We inflate the balloon and kind of pry open the blockage. We leave the balloon inflated for a few minutes. We deflate the balloon, pull the balloon back, squirt dye down the artery, and see if the artery's open the way it should. Sometimes we stop there and don't go any further, and we've cleaned it out with a balloon. In most patients, we come back with another railroad car, and this one is being a stent. And a stent is also a railroad, is also a cigar-shaped balloon. But this time, it's got a chicken wire fence wrapped around it. That's our stent. So when we position this across the area that's blocked, we inflate the balloon. It expands that chicken wire fence tube into the artery. Then deflate the balloon, pull the balloon out, and that chicken wire fence tube stays there to hold the artery open. That's how stenting works. Sometimes, depending on where the blockage is, and particularly if the artery, the plaque is particularly hard or calcified, sometimes we need something else to clean out that artery first. That's where our atherectomy devices come in. And so they are designed to cut away some of the plaque to clean out the artery. And the one that we use most commonly, it's been around for many years, been around since the early 90s, is a device called a rotablator. And a rotablator, that's where the Roto-Rooter terminology comes from. The rotablator is placed down that wire over that railroad track, and it spins through the artery. It's powered by a little gas turbine engine, very similar to a dentist drill. In fact, it sounds like a dentist drill. And we slide it through the artery, and it cuts away the plaque. It grinds it up into very small particles that then are washed away downstream and are taken care of by the body. The particles are usually smaller than the red blood cells. So it usually doesn't clog up things downstream. And then it, like a balloon, is usually followed up by implanting a stent. We have some other tools as well. We have some little suction devices that we use more commonly during a heart attack that kind of vacuum out clot. Clot is awfully often present during a heart attack setting, and so we can suction this stuff out. But all of it is done through the same way. It's like playing with railroad tracks and railroad cars. You gotta have a railroad track, and then our different railroad cars are designed to do basically the same thing, but in a little different manner. And we choose those tools just like you would if you had a job at home. Sometimes you use a Phillips head screwdriver. Sometimes you use a flathead screwdriver. But really, you're doing the same job. It's just a little different tool.
So there's ways for you to know in advance what this particular patient, which of these tools you're going to use?
Not until you see the arteries themselves during a heart catheterization procedure. And so then we would pick the tools there.
And you would do that while the patient is under, correct?
Yes, ma'am. They're really not under. It's with local sedation and local anesthesia with the numbing up the skin in the groin or in the wrist, and then very light sedation. We're really talking to people the whole time. In fact, I'll have some patients that are I've talked to enough, and they'll ask, is the railroad track down yet? And so.
So they know ahead of time. You've already told them from the very beginning this is what we're about to do.
That's the plan.
All right. Are there any medication options for treatment other than the things that you've already named?
Well, if someone has been stented or treated with another interventional device, they will need to be on aspirin for life. And usually they're on an additional blood thinner, usually another antiplatelet, and most commonly is Plavix. And they can be on that for as short as about 3 months and usually as long as a year or longer. And then eventually, in most patients, they go back to aspirin alone. Then the rest of the treatment is what we would treat anybody else with coronary disease, whether we did an intervention or not.
Okay. Well, this has been very enlightening. Thank you very much for joining us, Dr. Smith. To learn more about coronary artery disease, the treatments discussed today, and other cardiovascular-related topics, please visit acsdoctors.com.